This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. You know the story. The ship is going down. The army is losing the battle. Whatever. Defeat appears inevitable. Then a hero steps in and sacrifices himself. Usually it is a him, to turn the tide. In last year's blockbuster hit Star Trek Into Darkness, Captain Kirk exposed himself to deadly radiation in order to prevent the Enterprise from crashing to Earth.
I want you to know why I couldn't let you die. Why I went back for you.
Because you are my friend.
We don't have time to play the entire scene, which takes a full 90 seconds for Kirk to actually expire and Spock to process the moment before the music swells and he screams,
Kirk!
Moments like these are, of course, built to stir deep emotion in the audience and pave the way for the CGI-laden climax that is sure to come. Here's the problem. Kirk, like most modern film martyrs, isn't really dead. Writer Alexander Hulls argues that films like Star Trek Into Darkness are ruining the emotional resonance of on-screen fatalities. His article, How Hollywood Killed Death, appeared in the New York Times. Alexander, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you trace this modern version of cinema's death trope in part to a screenwriting guide. It was called Save the Cat, the last book on screenwriting you'll ever need. How does this fit in?
Save the Cat is a book that sort of lays out a basic guideline. I sort of refer to it as almost like the instructions for a Lego set. And it lays out this guideline of all the beats you can hit to make a quote-unquote successful, well-structured screenplay. And the reason I trace it back to Save the Cat is that there's a particular prescription in that book called the All is Lost moment, which is basically that moment that we just heard via that Star Trek clip where usually someone dies and it seems like the heroes and their friends are not going to make it and everything is lost and it builds towards that third act. And one thing Snyder says in particular about the all is lost moment is that you can achieve that real desperation by, as I believe he puts it, introducing a whiff of death to your script. You know, some have contested how much Save the Cat has actually influenced directly screenwriters, but there's no doubt that whether it's through a Snyder's doing or just the way Hollywood makes its movies now, this idea of, hey, kill someone right before the third act starts has become entirely prevalent and entirely meaningless because of this sort of formulaic approach to it.
So this formula, we've seen it before. It's not new. Main characters have been going through close calls since the birth of the blockbuster. So what is different then about Kirk and Star Trek versus all of those cop movies, you know, when the hero gets up after being shot and opens his shirt to reveal a Kevlar vest underneath?
Well, I think the difference is that, you know, there aren't those fake outs we're used to, you know, or someone appears to be drowning and after, you know, 2 minutes of CPR, suddenly they come to life and, you know, they're okay. What's happening more, and in particular, this happened in 2003 in blockbusters, and it started spilling over into this year too with, I'm not sure how much spoilers I can give away, but Captain America does some of this too, is that a character is dead, but then they're brought back quite literally from death back to life. Characters are resurrected so that death doesn't mean anything, even though Hollywood wants it to still.
So looking back, are there Hollywood deaths that you think you will remember that, you know, iconic, that will leave a lasting mark?
Certainly. I mean, I think we all have our sort of list of Hollywood deaths or movie deaths that we instantly remember. I mean, for me, Obi-Wan Kenobi dying obviously resonates very much. And I mean, people laugh at this one because it is in a very silly movie, but there's a fantastic death in a movie called Deep Blue Sea with Samuel Jackson, which is sort of a really silly shark movie where sharks become uber smart. And there's this great moment where Samuel Jackson is giving this incredibly powerful inspirational speech that we always expect from these characters in these movies. And he's the biggest actor in the film, and out of nowhere, a shark jumps up and kills him.
So we're not going to fight anymore. We're going to pull together and we're going to find a way to get out of here. First, we're going to seal off this.
Room. it's, you know, it's funny, like, that is considered by many cinephiles one of the greatest cinematic deaths of all time, which is amusing considering what a sort of silly B-movie it's in. But it does sort of reinforce this idea that, you know, deaths should surprise us and they should have consequences and they resonate. And even in a silly movie about, you know, mega smart genetically altered sharks, makes a movie death matter in that way. Mm.
In Marvel's huge 2012 hit, The Avengers, there is a character named Agent Coulson who dies at this all is lost moment and pretty much spells out the plot point right there. Let's hear it.
Sorry, boss. The guy rabbited.
Just stay awake. Eyes on me.
Oh, I'm clocking out here.
Not an option.
It's okay, boss. This was never gonna work. They didn't have something to...
Well, we're guessing that he was going to say to avenge. You also bring up fake deaths in Iron Man 3, The Dark Knight Rises, and Thor, The Dark World. Why are so many comic book adaptations guilty of this trend, do you think?
Well, I think they're guilty of it because it's in their nature. Comic books in book form have for pretty much decades been killing off characters and bringing them back. I mean, Superman has died. Spider-Man in various incarnations has died. Batman sort of died, but he was an alternate reality version, which again speaks to the silliness of comics. But it's a trend that's been going on for a long time. And I think that as comic book movies have become increasingly more popular, by which I probably mean more lucrative for Hollywood, and that they've persisted in making them to great success and great reviews and lots of money, that it's sort of inevitable that comic book movies are going to import the very sort of DNA of the source material. And I think that's why we're seeing more and more of this. And I don't think it's just superhero movies that have adopted this sort of trend of resurrection. It's starting to slowly spill out into other films a little bit, but it's definitely the main perpetrator these days.
And in complete contrast with what's going on in television, I'm thinking of the Game of Thrones, The Good Wife this year, The Walking Dead, renowned and much reviled in some cases for their willingness to kill off major characters. Is this a deliberate rebellion against this fake death cycle that you're finding in Hollywood?
I think it is to an extent. I mean, it's funny that this criticism is being thrown at films right now, because, I mean, for a long time, I felt the same way about TV, because, I mean, especially TV on stations like CBS and NBC and Fox, you know, every time sweeps came along, they would, you know, even put in their ads, one character will die. So it's interesting that in particular, in the last few years, with the examples you mentioned, like Game of Thrones and Walking Dead and even Breaking Bad, that death has actually started to matter. And I don't think it's an accident that there are a lot of cable shows doing that now. Cable shows are aspiring to do things that we're not necessarily seeing on other TV shows and even movies. To be fair, television shows do have a little more breathing room than movies to sort of explore the ramifications of death. But I do agree with you that ultimately I think it is probably no accident that TV shows are using the opportunity to sort of explore the creative potential and the emotional potential for both the characters within the show and the audience to show how death really matters in a way that a lot of popular movies aren't doing anymore.
Freelance writer Alexander Hulse, his article, How Hollywood Killed Death, appeared in the New York Times. If you'd like to see Samuel L. Jackson's death in Deep Blue Sea, and we promise you, you do want to see it, we posted a clip on our website, wordofmouthradio.org.
And so he spoke, and so he spoke, the Lord accosted me. Now they're ready.